May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 690. On wings of love the Saviour flies, and freely left his native skies to take a human birth. The wise and righteous men go near, his wonders see, his sermons hear, and think him nothing worth. Hymn 690.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel, chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant of mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts, and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day. To the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws which he set before us, by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done, as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil, and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day, We have sinned. We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people have become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not, for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that should come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word. May he grant us prayer. O Lord, do look in mercy upon us and help us rightly to approach thee, thou be had in reverence of all those that are about thee. Oh, we pray for thy spirit. There might be that real reverence, godly fear, living faith, wrought by thee in our hearts. Oh, and we plead even for that blessed sacrifice. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou art not despised. Lord Jesus, it is the fruit of thy sacrifice. When thou didst give thyself for thy people, when thou didst die for their sin. O Lord, do grant, blessed Spirit, this effect, this virtue of thy death and resurrection, Lord Jesus. Oh, that the heart of stone might be taken away and a heart of flesh be given us, that we might look upon thee, Lord Jesus, and mourn for thee. Thee whom we have pierced, oh, if indeed this petition of ours be granted. Oh, do grant, Lord, that sympathy. Lord, that we might have given to us that grace whereby we shall sympathise with thee, Lord, in what thou didst once suffer. Lord, do thus break our hearts, make sin exceeding sinful, making an abhorrent thing to us as it is to thee. Lord, forgive the transgressions of our lives, the iniquity of our souls. Cleanse us truly, and help us now as through thy mercy we are favoured to come into thy house once more. Lord, what is our life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We confess with shame how careful and troubled we are about many things. Lord, separate us now unto thyself. There might be that seeking of that one thing needful which Mary was blessed with. She sat at thy feet and heard thy words. Lord, do grant us that blessing. O Lord, shut out the world. Shut us in with thee. Sanctify us, Lord Jesus, in the way thou hast said, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. There's no other way, Lord. Save us from all other sanctification, which is only sanctimonious sin. O Lord, do grant us that sanctification in Christ Jesus. Lord, do undertake for us. Help this people. We plead for the precious souls of those gathered here tonight. According to thy holy will, we pray for their salvation. Oh, may this means thou hast granted here be used this night to the salvation of sinners. May the dead be quickened into life. May the living, Lord, be made lively. Lord, where there is lukewarmness, oh, do grant a warming of the heart. Lord, where there is a deathliness, grant a re-quickening. The power of the resurrection put forth. Where there is a far-offness, a dullness, Oh, bring near and brighten. O Lord, lift upon us the light of thy countenance. Oh, that will brighten us. Oh, that will might be a reflection of thyself in us, Lord Jesus. The beauty of the Lord our God upon us. Lord, hear the petitions of thine own. Fulfill their desires. We will plead thy promise, thou wilt fulfill the desire of those that fear thee. The desire of the righteous shall be granted. O Lord, thou hast said, and that word must be fulfilled. Help us to be on the watch for it. Help us, Lord, to pray without ceasing. We confess, Lord, how often we cease to pray and faint instead. Lord, save us from this. Give power to the faint, to them that have no might to increase strength. For even the youths faint and are weary, and the young men utterly fall. But they that wait upon thee, Lord, they do renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. Oh, help those that are in the path of tribulation. Lord, this is all thy people. It is through much tribulation they must enter the kingdom. Lord, sanctify it. There might be a cleaving closer to thee, a leaning harder upon thee, a looking more singly to thee. Lord, there might be that no confidence in the flesh, but that God-given confidence in thee. Lord, that trembling spirit of dependence. Lord, save us, Lord, from all confidence wrought by ourselves, which is so brazen and bold in the flesh. Grant us that boldness of faith, which is always accompanied with that humility and trembling. Lord, for thou art, as we've read from thy word this evening, the great and terrible God. Lord, do look upon thy afflicted ones, where it is thy will to heal and strengthen. We thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast done. Continue thy mercies. Lord, do build up and strengthen and richly sanctify. Oh, may there be that nevertheless afterward. Lord, do help thy people in all their various trials. Oh, uphold them under the heavy burdens. May their shoes be iron and brass, and as their days, their strength be. Help our young, Lord. Oh, have mercy on them. Save their precious souls. Guide them and direct them in life's pathway. According to thy holy will, that which is best for them. Lord, help them and each of us to cast all our care upon thee. Oh, may we know that blessedness of thus trusting in thee. May we know that blessedness of that thus dwelling in the house of the Lord, day by day, through our days. Oh, Lord, give in us those earnest of that entrance into that better place, that better country. Lord, oh, do wash and clothe us, that we be found right at last. We have that title and meekness to heaven. Lord, have mercy on us. Our only hope is in thy finished work, Lord Jesus. Oh, we do pray, blessed Spirit, that thou wouldst make it known to us more fully. Those of us that hope and trust has begun to make it known, but it seems to be in such a little measure. And Lord, how quickly we lose in the experience of it what we hope thou dost give us from time to time. And so we are compelled to come back to thee, Lord, again and again, and ask they still for more, and confess, Lord, it's our sins that have whittled away in our experience the blessedness which once we knew. O Lord, have mercy, who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, who passeth by the transgression of the remnant of thy heritage. Lord, we read, thou retainest not thy anger forever, because thou delighteth in mercy. Show thyself, Lord, to this people, to us each, as that God, who retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. We would seek help for the deacons of this church and each member. Do bind them together. Oh, grant them each the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. So may they dwell in union with each other and the Lord. May their hearts be knit together. May they, Lord, be by the Spirit led together. Oh, what thou hast done in the Church of God, down through the generations, through united prayer. So unite Zion. Lord, the force of their united cries, no power can long withstand. Oh, do grant it then here. Bless them with a living ministry. If it is thy will, a pastor of thine own provision, a man after thine own heart, who shall feed them with knowledge and with understanding and go in and out among them. O Lord, but we plead for the Spirit here and throughout Zion in the earth. Lord, restore the waste places. Oh, come, we pray, and grant that fulfillment in our experience even in these days, these latter days. Thy promise is the wall shall be built again, the street, even in troublous times. And Lord, these are troublous times. And surely, according to thy word, this shows they are the last times. Oh, we cannot expect the times to get better. According to thy promise, evil, thy word, thy prophecy, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And many shall have a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. O Lord, save us, we pray, from such a form. Grant us the power. O, put forth thy power, Lord. Power belongeth unto thee, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. We commend to thee those in especial need. Have mercy on the oppressed, the afflicted, the weak, the frail, the infirm, the aged, the dying, those in severe persecution, and you may be in prison for thy name's sake. Oh, do help them. Be with them, Lord, in these furnaces, as thou wast with those three Hebrews, so that they lost naught but their bonds. But, Lord, if it would please thee, bring them forth, for the glory of thy great name, the rejoicing of their hearts and of the church. Bless us with a thankful heart for all thy goodness and mercy to us. Thy daily provision. Thy watchful care over us. The measure of health and strength. And thy sparing mercy, thy patience with us. Thy forbearance. Thy blessed word, thy gospel. The throne of thy grace, and he who sits upon it, thy unspeakable gift to thy church, thy dear Son, and he who make sinners feel their need of that throne of grace, thy blessed Spirit, and leads them there, and communes to them all the saving benefits of thy Son. Help us this night. Have mercy still. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 717. Brethren, those who come to bliss, come through sore temptations. May we all, remembering this, pray for faith and patience. Hymn 717.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help, I venture to direct you to the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verses 18 and 19. Daniel, chapter 9, verses 18 and 19. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not, for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Of Daniel it might well be said, where shall we find a man like unto this, one in whom is the spirit of his God? Oh, what a blessing to the Church of God for such men as Daniel. But it is only the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Daniel himself was a man of like passions as we are. But oh, how the Spirit of God was upon him. Oh my, the same God, and he is the same. I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. May he give that same spirit he gave to Daniel to us in our day, for we certainly need it. Oh, how our condition personally, collectively in our churches and congregations, and nationally, bears such resemblance to the days in which Daniel wrote this prophecy here. Oh, how our condition is so similar to that which Daniel confessed to his God. And therefore, oh, and this is Zion. Therefore, if we are Zion, if we are God's church, if we are his people, then that is why these desolations are upon us. He says in the word of God concerning Israel, and of course he refers not only to national Israel there, but the whole Israel of God. He says, you only have I known of all the nations which are upon the face of the earth. Therefore will I punish you for your iniquities. Oh, and when this punishment for your iniquities comes upon you, child of God, you think it's going to be the end, don't you? You think it's because the Lord doesn't have any favour toward you. No. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And remember what he says in the Revelation, in those letters to the churches. And all those sins he speaks of, he reproves the churches of there. Who of us can say we're not guilty of those sins? And therefore that word applies to us. If thou not repent, I'll remove the candlestick out of his place. Now it's not that we can repent ourselves. Just as it is in this chapter here, all that Daniel confessed, it was by the grace of God. It was by the influence of the Blessed Spirit. But you see, if there's never any of this, if there's never this influence of the Spirit, what evidence is there that we are the Church of God? That we have the Spirit of God upon us. There's no evidence. It's not an evidence that we're the Church of God. If we come up to the house of God week by week and read the Word of God, it's not an evidence that we're the church of God if we merely confess what sinners we are to one another. What is the evidence that a person is a member of the church of God? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon them. There are times when it's not manifest, but if it's never manifest, if there's never repentance, if there's never prayer, never supplication, never an obtaining of an answer from Almighty God, there's no scriptural evidence that we're a child of God. Paul, he calls those people he wrote to a solemn exercise, doesn't he? Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Know ye not that except Christ Jesus be in you, ye are reprobates. But he says, I trust that we should know that ye are not reprobates. He doesn't then say it as though he's already concluded that the people are reprobates. No. But sent by God, under the influence of the Spirit of God. You see, the Lord, he has a purpose in every word that he calls his servants to go to and speak to his church with. My dear friend, there's to be a taking count. There's to be... It is in business, isn't it? Particularly at times of the year end, as the accountant calls it, there's that taking stock. There's that summing of the balances, the outgoings and the incomings. Does God cause you? Does he bring you to this accounting? Oh, does he cause you to examine yourselves? Well, I've been up to the house of God and listened to many sermons. What has been the effect? What have I gained? And if you've gained anything, you must have lost a lot. Because a sinner never gains anything worth having. And that only thing that is worth having, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why a sinner must lose everything. Paul says, what things were gained to me previously, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Is there that growth in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ? Well, Daniel was blessed with a spirit of prayer and of supplication. He tells us that he understood by books. That is, the scriptures that were written, that were already written, that were present in those days, the inspired Word of God. And in that Word of God, God had caused those prophets, men like Jeremiah and Isaiah and others, to tell how long that captivity was going to be, that the Lord had sent his people into because of their sins. Now, what a mercy if the Lord causes us to understand by the book. It seemed to strike me again recently, the value of the Word of God to the Church of God. How precious is the Word of God. Here is wisdom. Not one word of that will ever be out of date. Every single prophecy therein will be fulfilled. But every promise there will be fulfilled. You dear young ones, and each of us, though those things put forth, men write this and men write that, they say this and say that. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. May the Lord, and if we're his, he will cause us to flee from all else. Because everything else is like that armour they tried to put on David when he went against Goliath. He tried it on, I can't go with this. He said, I've not proved it. Now, if some of you here this evening, I believe there are, you've proved the word of God. You've proved that what God has said was true. You've proved that the promise he gave you, according to the measure of the fulfillment so far, you've tried it and you've proved it. Now, upon that, the Lord will cause you to go forth. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Now then, Daniel understood my books. Oh, that they were wise, said Moses, that they understood this. They would consider their latter end. The Lord Jesus, he spoke of men discerning the weather by the sky at night and the sky in the morning, didn't he? You can, oh fools, he said, you can discern the sign of the times. Oh, the Lord, give us that wisdom to discern the Son of Man cometh. If we were blessed with that, by living faith, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, what different lives we would live. Unto them that look for him, he said, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. If we discern that, we should be found, I believe, in that exercise he calls his people to, in those days approaching his coming. Watch therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape those things that are coming on the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. But you see, to try to speak of it in the context of this chapter here we've read this evening, what Daniel was given to see by books, that the end of the captivity was near. Now that speaks of a poor sinner. Through the precious everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which speaks of the end of the captivity, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Why to look out for this and to plead for it? To confess the sins that have brought me into this captivity and the sins that have kept me in this captivity, and to plead with the Lord to fulfill his word. You know, the true faith which the Holy Spirit is the inspirer of in his people's hearts as he reveals Christ. It never leaves a sinner to say, well, we must wait the Lord's time. That one who has that faith will be quite conscious, painfully so. They've tried to hasten it. They cannot. But, oh, for the Spirit to work this in us, that we have that spiritual energy granted to us, to plead for it, to look for it, to wrestle with God as Jacob did. What a blessing that man obtained through the Lord Jesus Christ before his incarnation, the Son of God coming in the form of a man and wrestling with him. I'll not let thee go except thou bless me. You see, because the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jacob, the exercise didn't stop with him saying, thou saidest, I will surely do thee good. No, because Jacob is brought into a circumstance where he needs the Lord to actually do what he has said he will do. And this is what God came and wrestled with him to the accomplishment of. And this is evidently the same here. Oh my God, incline thine ear and hear. Oh, he pleads with God. My dear friend, may the Lord use these examples in his word to show us what the posture is of that man that obtains the blessing. Why, that God delights in a sinner speaking to him reverently, but with importunity. You see, the one that is under the influence of the Spirit of God, they're made to realise what the alternative is to God inclining and hearing. It's the Lord turning away his face, never hearing my cry, never giving me what I ask for. And what is the end of that? You must perish, mustn't you? Oh, that the Lord might bring us to this in our prayers. Those of us that hope and trust, we have known something of the Spirit of the Lord, granting us a wrestling spirit of prayer. Oh, what a life and death situation we were in. I think of Queen Esther. It was literally a life and death matter, wasn't it? The decree was signed. With the intent of exterminating Esther and her people. I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Now you see, this is how it is with us. Except we receive from God the forgiveness of our sins, we perish. Except Jesus Christ lift upon us the light of his countenance, we perish. Except God grant us his mercy, we perish in our sins. Now, that is so concerning. The day of our death, of course. But may the Lord make it so also concerning the days of our life. That, as the hymn writer says, without thy sweet mercy, I could not live here. Sin soon would reduce me to utter despair. And when the hymn writer wrote that, he didn't mean the doctrine of God's mercy. He didn't mean the theory of God's mercy, however precious and vital that is. He spoke of it as sweet mercy. That is, tasted. You don't know something sweet until you taste it. And so the hymn writer spoke of the Lord granting him to taste mercy. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is gracious and merciful. Well, Daniel then, he speaks like this, oh my God, incline thine ear. Let me, before I try to go on a little, try to speak like this. Perhaps someone here says this evening, oh, I can't rise to what Daniel says and say, oh my God. Well, the Lord promises that he will say, it is my people. And then they will say, the Lord is my God. But let us try to consider it like this. What did it mean for God to be Daniel's God? It meant that Daniel feared him. That is, he reverenced him. He sought him. He wanted him, like the psalmist speaks of it, as the hart pants after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. It meant this with Daniel. Oh, by his God he was caused to refer everything to him. To look for all help from him. To think not of receiving help from anywhere else. Oh my God, if there be those here this evening that cannot say with sweet assurance, God is my God. Oh, can you creep in with some of those things I've just mentioned? That fear, that looking to him, that referring all unto him, that esteem of him, that desire that he would bless. Oh my God, incline thine ear and hear. Incline thine ear. You see, this sinner that is praying like this, they are made aware in their experience, in their innermost soul, and according to the things that take place in their life, whether God has inclined his ear or not. And oh, when no answer comes, when no deliverance appears, oh, how the sinner fears that his ear is not inclined. Incline thine ear. Lord, do not pass by my petition. Lord, do not deliver others and not deliver me. Incline thine ear. Sometimes the Lord's people, they look upon others and hear of the Lord's deliverance of them, and they see it in their countenance perhaps, and hear it in their testimony. And there's a godly jealousy. There is a right covetousness, you know. Covet earnestly the best gifts. And what a good gift is an answer to prayer. What a good gift it is the Lord answering a poor sinner with a word from his own mouth. What a good gift is a deliverance. Now that one, it seems to them that the Lord's ear is inclined to other people's prayers, but not mine. Now, the truth that though he does not yet turn and answer your prayer to your soul's satisfaction. He does not yet put forth his hand to deliver you, but that you are yet caused to plead with him that he would turn is an evidence that he is listening to your prayers, but that his time has not yet come. Now I believe this was Daniel's exercise here because God's time was drawing near. There was an urgency in Daniel's prayer. Incline thine ear and hear. Oh, the Lord forgive me if I appear to be dwelling too long or labouring on a certain point, but I feel the need of it myself, if you don't need it, friends. Oh, the vital thing is to obtain answers. Prayer is God's means to an end. If you are given real prayer, there will be a measure of relief, especially when you feel access to God, like Hannah did when she went up to the temple to pray. She went away and her tenderness was no more sad, because the Lord had given her an intimation that he had heard her prayer. But you see, that one can't be content with just praying. If we can be content with just praying, we just have a formal religion. My dear friend, the only thing that really contents the Lord's people is Christ, and he is given in answer to the prayer. Ask, he said, and it shall be given thee. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now there was such desolation, wasn't there? But Daniel had that faith to believe that God could deliver you. He was given to discern why the desolation was upon them, their sins and iniquities. He confessed it. O Lord, incline thine ear and hear. Hear those confessions. Hear those supplications. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations. Oh, Daniel, and the child of God that prays like this, they feel, Lord, it does not seem as though thou dost behold our desolations. Because those desolations continue. And surely, Lord, thou art that God that doth deliver thy people from their desolations. 'Tis not thy will, 'tis not thy promise, that the desolations of thy people shall continue. Does it concern you as whether the Lord's eyes are open upon your desolations? You say, what desolations? The ruins of your soul. The guilt and the power of sin. What desolations they are. What desolations upon the peace of a child of God when guilt lies hard on the soul. What desolations on the prosperity of a child of God when unbelief is rampant and faith is almost, if not quite, extinguished. What desolations when the Holy Spirit of God is withdrawn. Reading the Word of God isn't the same. Prayer isn't the same. Going up to the house of God isn't the same. Preaching isn't the same. Hearing isn't the same. Life isn't the same. All the desolations when It isn't the Word of God and God Himself that is uppermost in our minds, but the world. It isn't Christ who is the object of worship, but some idol. It isn't the kingdom of God and His righteousness we are seeking first, but the perishing things. The desolations when the Spirit of the Lord is withdrawn. And so, the tempter has such easy work upon this poor sinner, causing them to fall again and again. The desolations. Why I speak these things concerning us personally. But then when those conditions prevail among the people, what a collective desolation. We read in the prophet Malachi, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance." The desolation. Where is the spiritual conversation? Desolation. Oh, perhaps there are those here this evening that can look back to times when you didn't want to talk about the weather, the prevailing economic situation, what is going on in the village, or what is going on in the country, or what is going on in the world. It was your soul. It was your God. Behold our desolations. Oh, when Satan seems to have it all his own way. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations. But you see, there was this in Daniel, as he speaks like this. He knew that only the Lord could put those desolations right. He knew that only the Lord could restore. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations. Oh, to behold them in compassion. This is what God has ever done concerning the desolations of Zion. When he foresaw those desolations in his eternal mind, why his purpose that the desolation shouldn't continue? His purpose that the effect of the fall should not prevail in his church, but should be overcome, the seed of the woman to bruise the serpent's head. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations. Oh, for Lord, if thou shouldst behold them in this way, Thou wouldst find the real cause. Thou wouldst go right to the very root of the matter. And for those of you here this evening, and the Lord does give you to realise, oh, I cannot trace the whole matter. But Lord, if thou look upon these desolations, thou wouldst trace the whole matter right to the root of it. And therefore thou wouldst in thy mercy put the matter right from the root of it. It wouldn't be a putting right of things on the surface. It wouldn't be a patching up of things, but a putting right of things right from the very root of it. Behold, desolation. Oh, those of you that are in these desolations tonight, may the Spirit of the Lord be given you to ask the Lord to behold your desolations and to minister to you, to repair your ways. Oh, to shed abroad His love in your heart, to grant you the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, to apply to your soul the saving benefits of His vicarious death, resurrection, ascension and intercession, to put forth upon you that blessed ointment. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. And the city which is called by thy name, Zion. First Daniel was referring to Jerusalem, but that is where Zion was, literally in that mount that was first taken by David's army from the Jebusites that held it, Mount Zion, thy city. Yes, it's his city. It's his church. They're not our churches. It's God's church. It's his people. It's his name. It's his covenant. It's his honour and glory. It's his work. Oh, the church of God. God's vineyard, which he has planted. He puts a hedge about it, but then in solemn judgment, he causes the hedge to be broken down and the boar out of the wood has come in and waste it, but it's still his church. And because of that, oh, and his appointed time, and in answer to the entreaties of his people, he'll come again and cast out the boar out of the wood, the adversary, every error, every deceit, every error in doctrine, every error in practice, every error in spirit. Thy city, the city which is called by thy name. Now, Daniel here, he is on that same ground by the Spirit's teaching that Moses was on when he pleaded for the children of Israel when they repeatedly grieved the Lord on that wilderness journey. He said to the Lord on one occasion when the Lord threatened to disinherit that people because of their sins. He said, what wilt thou do for thy great name? And you see, this is the only plea you have, sinner. Oh, it is for his name's sake. He hath chosen Zion for himself. It is not for his people's sake, but his great name's sake. He doth these things. And what a strong plea it is. What wilt thou do for thy great name, the city which is called by thy name? Oh, how solemn a thought comes to mind now concerning this city which is called by his name. When desolations abound, oh, when there's such spiritual poverty and such sin prevailing, so much unbelief, so much worldliness, and so much worldly conformity, oh, what a reproach on the Lord's name. The Lord speaks of it, doesn't he? I believe it's in the prophet Ezekiel, of the reproach that has come upon his name because of his people's sins. But there he also speaks of sanctifying the place and causing his name to be once more sanctified among the heathen. And how is that? When he restores. Oh, sometimes you know in Zion's desolations, the enemy looks on and he rejoices and says, aha, aha, so would I have it. He says to Zion, where is now thy God? Oh, the Lord sanctifies his name among the heathen when he shows even to the heathen
by the change he works by his grace in sinners' hearts individually and in a company of people collectively. Oh, he shows them his grace. Yes. Why? If the heathen hadn't seen solemnly that that people left to themselves were as wicked as any, then the Lord's name could not be as glorified as it is when he comes and saves for his great name's sake. This was what the Pharisees and scribes couldn't understand, was it? This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. But you see, there's an evidence. Why the change wrought in sinners' hearts? Through that word, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus and learned of him. This city which is called by thy name. Oh, the Lord help me to speak like this as it comes to mind now. Oh, if there be even in your heart, poor sinner, this evening or at any time, that jealousy over the Lord's name, that grief in your soul. Oh, Lord, I confess with shame that by my sins, I who am a professed Christian, I who am by going up to the house of God, even professing to the people that I'm a Christian, and my life, Lord, it is so unprofitable, my conversation. I'm grieved that thy name is under reproach because of my sin. Lord, look upon my desolations and the city that is called by thy name. Restore me. Make me different, Lord. Put me right. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercy. Oh, of course, none of us here this evening would contradict this truth. But the point is of this coming in faith as Daniel came. We would all acknowledge in the letter that we cannot present our supplications for our righteousnesses. But oh, is there that coming to God like this? Is there that going unto him in secret? And presenting these supplications for his great mercies. His great mercies. Oh, they must be great, mustn't they? They're great, are these mercies. So great they cannot be measured. That great mercy by which God deals not with a sinner after their desert. That great mercy whereby he is made a way whereby he may be just and not punish sinners. That great mercy of laying his people's sins on his dear son. You'll never be able to measure that mercy. It's great because of what it brings to the sinner who has that mercy. It brings pardon, it brings eternal life, it brings at last heaven. But it's a great mercy in this respect. What a great thing was done. Because no one can measure the sins of the church. You can't measure your own, can you, sinner? Your sins are beyond recounting. You can't measure the size of them because they're committed against the infinite God. That great mercy. the great sufferings which the Son of God endured through the Father laying on his Son the sins of the church. You can't measure those sufferings. 'Tis to God and God alone that they are fully known. But for thy great mercies, only thy great mercies, not on account of anything. You see, Daniel by this, he shows that the Lord was not causing him to put confidence in his confessions. He was not causing him to put confidence in his prayers. And you see, this is that which perhaps develops that thought I was speaking earlier, which is a sinner not being satisfied with praying, because there's sin in his prayers. But there's no sin in God's answers. No. Thy great mercies. Oh, this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. The great mercy of the Holy Spirit to convince of sin. The great mercy of the Holy Spirit to lead to Christ. The great mercy of the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ. The great mercy of everything coming from God. For thy great mercies. You see, if you're brought to realize everything I need must come from God, and it can only come on the terms of his mercy. If he was strict to mark iniquity, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with him, that he may be feared. So the psalmist said, my soul doth hope, and my soul doth wait, and in thy word do I hope. But for thy great mercies, O Lord, hear. You see how it is with a sinner that is wrestling with God, that is importunate. There's repetition, but it's not vain repetition. Christ set that example in the garden, didn't he? He prayed the same prayer 3 times. We can be sure there was no vain repetition there. Oh, you may feel like Hezekiah felt, like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. The same note over and over again. Not a pretty note, not a pretty song like the nightingale, a crane or a swallow. But what did those prayers obtain? Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. I've seen thy tears, I've heard thy prayer. I will add unto thy days 15 years. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, forgive. Oh, may a spirit of prayer be given us each for forgiveness. To actually receive it. To actually have that sentence. Heart speaks of it, doesn't he? Jesus whispers this sweet sentence. Son, thy sins are all forgiven. Have we had it? If not, are we seeking it? If we have had it, how is it with us now? Are we left to say, well, I had the forgiveness of my sins once, so it will be all right? Surely that is not the way the Lord leads his people. He says, abide in me, and I in you. And how does the hymn writer take it up? If guilt remove it, return and remain. The power of this fountain may be proved again and again. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. All this doing of the Lord. What does he do? Why is there anything he doesn't do for his people that they need? Do you know God like this? The God that does everything for his people. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord, that performance, that doing. I fear, my dear friends, there's a lot of resting in the letter. I believe I mentioned in prayer that solemn warning Paul gave to Timothy in his epistle. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. How is the power made known? The doing. When God breaks a sinner's heart, when God breaks the power of the snare, when God overcomes the love of the world, when God puts joy in a sinner's heart, when God grants that peace of God which passeth all understanding, when God breaks the sinner's chains from off them, when he opens the prison and they go forth, when he conquers the power of besetting sin. Now, regarding this doing, my dear friends, oh, the Lord help me to speak well of this God. Oh, he is so compassionate, so merciful. Think of what he stooped to do for his people. What Christ did for his people. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. He paid every single debt they had incurred by all their sin. He stood against Satan with divine power, suffering, being tempted. He spoiled principalities and powers, making a show of them openly in him. Why did ever a sinner come to him and ask him to do something for them, and he was unable to do it? No. Did ever a sinner come to him and ask him to do something, and he say to them, you're not worthy for me to do that for you? Did ever a sinner come to him and ask him to do something, and he say, not until you've done this, not until you've done that? No. That asking was the thing that he brought the sinner to do. And he says, ask and it shall be given thee. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Hearken and do. Defer not. Defer not. Oh, what a spirit we have by nature. Procrastinators. Like that man in the Acts of the Apostles, at the ministry of the gospel, he said, call me at a more convenient season. But grace, oh, under the influence of God, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. Defer not. Why today? Today to receive this blessing. Today to be favoured with this communion. Today for the Lord to do something for you. To speak to you. To soften your heart. To begin at least. To restore your soul. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God. For thine own sake. All this takes in all his covenant, doesn't it? That covenant of which he has said he will not break. For thine own sake. His honour and his name's at stake. to save each praying sinner from the burning lake, for thine own sake. For thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Pack will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Peter Woodhams on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 956. Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy fears. Oh, the love that fills his heart, sinner, wipe away thy tears. Hymn 956.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do bless to us thy word. May it remain with us. Help us to reduce to practice what we hear. Do forgive that which has been amiss. Keep us safe as we separate. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.